Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues is the name of this program. We thank you for listening to AFR. I'm Tim with Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Glad to be on today.
So you and Ed swapping days?
We are. Ed's got some other things to do, so I volunteered to sit in for him today, and Ed'll be here tomorrow.
You volunteered to sit in for him?
That's I did. Yeah, he didn't even have to ask. I volunteered. I knew he was very busy, so I was glad to step in.
Chris Woodward is here. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. I'd like to point out there is no I in Walker.
No, there's not. He's a team player.
Yes, he is.
Now, are you volunteering to fill Fred Jackson's place today?
I am. I was voluntold.
Oh, you were voluntold.
Hybrid there.
Yeah. But it's funny because I'll be sitting there like in the zone. I've got my headphones on and I'm typing away and Fred comes over and he always scares me because like he's real quiet. And,
right, like a cat.
Yeah. So he's like, I need you to fill in for me next week. I said, yes, sir.
All right. Would you rather him yell at you?
No. Oh, okay. I have had bosses like that.
That scares you too.
Fred's
a
blessing.
People yell at you. So, all right. So we got a lot to talk about today. We thank you again for listening. Yesterday, I'll tell you what, Walker, tell folks how they can join us on the internet and then I'll get into the news of the day here.
Sure, yeah. You can visit our website. A couple of ways to keep up with the show here. You can always visit our website, afr.net, afr.net on the web. We also have an app that's available. It's free, has great content there. Just type in American Family Radio or AFR on your app store. And lastly, we're on social media, Facebook and YouTube. Just type in the show name on Facebook or YouTube, Today's Issues, and keep up with us on there.
So yesterday, the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, announced that she would initiate impeachment proceedings.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot the exact terminology.
Formal impeachment inquiry.
Yes, into the President of the United States. She and the Democrats want to kick. They would love nothing more than to kick President Trump out of the White House. And so they're going to try to, I guess this is where they're headed. They're going to try to impeach him over a phone call that he made, he being President Trump made, I don't know when it was, made to the newly elected Ukrainian president. Do you know when this was, Walker?
The phone call was about a month ago.
So, before ever seeing the transcript of the phone call or knowing anything about the whistleblower who didn't have firsthand information about the call that the president made to the Ukrainian
July 25th
president.
So 2 months ago.
So the Democrats took them about 3 or 4 days without ever seeing the phone call. Didn't even wait to see the transcript of what happened. They full on going to impeach President Trump. So, Chris.
Yes.
Pick it up. What has happened today?
Yeah. So, the Trump administration, as promised, released a transcript of that phone call back in July 25th, as Walker just mentioned. And we have some audio here. This is Fox News reporter Catherine Herridge reading the...
Herridge.
Yeah, thank you. Reading the transcript as it came out on Fox News, clip 4.
This is the key part of the transcript. There is an ask for the president to the Ukrainian counterpart. And it reads, I would like you to do us a favor, though, because our country has been through a lot and Ukraine knows a lot about it. I would like you to find out what happened with this whole situation with Ukraine. They say CrowdStrike. That appears to be a reference to the hacking of the Clinton emails in 2016. I guess you have one of your wealthy people, the server. They say Ukraine has it. And then he continues, there's a lot of talk about Biden's son, that Biden stopped the prosecution, and a lot of people want to find out about that. So whatever you can do with the attorney general would be great. That's Attorney General William Barr. Biden went about bragging that he stopped the prosecution. So if you can look into it, it sounds horrible to me. Then the Ukrainian president responds, talking about the prosecutor he will have in place to look specifically at this issue that relates to the natural gas company Burisma. He states he or she will look into the situation specifically to the company that you mentioned in this issue. The issue of the investigation of the case is actually the issue to restore the honesty. Seems to be a reference to integrity, sort of anti-corruption. So we will take care of that, and we will work on the investigation of the case. Mr. Trump then responds, I will have Mr. Giuliani give you a call, and I'm also going to have Attorney General Barr call, and we will get to the bottom of it. I'm sure you will figure it out.
So there you have it.
That's not impeachable.
Nope.
That you don't impeach a president over that call, right? If that's it, is that it?
Is I that, don't know that you can get that through the Senate.
That's it. I'm reading the transcript on the White House website now. That's it. And
the Democrats said he did this in return. If you do this, I'll give you some money for your military or something to that effect, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
The so-called quid pro quo, is that how you say it? Or
yes.
You know, basically bribery.
Mm-hmm.
And is that's not, he didn't mention
I'm
that?
I'm not seeing anything about you do this and I'll do that. The only thing I'm reading here in the transcript is what Catherine Herridge just said. But I'm reading farther into it, and it's only 5 or 6 pages.
Just came out.
I'm not finding yet anything about, if you do this, then I'll give you military aid.
Now, Biden, on the other, do we still have the Biden clip? Can you pull that back? I know we played it a couple of times, but this is so important.
You're talking about the one
story.
Back in 2018? It's yes. not in uh-huh. our stack today unless you still have it stockpiled somewhere.
Okay.
That's fine.
We do have some other Biden clips, though.
Well, if you can find that, again, it's the maybe during the break.
Okay.
It's so important to this story. What they're referring to there, it was kind of hard for me to tell when she was stopping and starting with her quotes from the transcript, but we played it the last couple of days. It's Vice President Joe Biden. Was he then Vice
yes.
President, or was he?
Well,
former?
No, he was former in 2018. Yeah,
and he was at a
foreign policy conference.
Foreign policy conference, and he was bragging about the fact that he was able to get the prosecutor who was looking into his son's company's financial dealings. He was able to get that prosecutor fired because he told the president of the Ukraine, or at least one of their high officials, you got it? Well, instead of me repeating it. Okay, so listen to what Joe Biden brags about. Again, this is 2018.
Yes.
He's former vice president at the time. Listen to this.
We're not going to give you the $1 billion. They said, you have no authority. You're not the president. The president said, I said, call him. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting the $1 billion. I said, you're not getting the billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, 6 hours? I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, got fired.
Wow.
People were laughing, too. Did you pick up on that?
Yeah.
Like,
but
it's
that's,
funny.
That's what President Trump was talking about.
Yes.
When President Trump, in this transcript, is talking to the newly elected Ukrainian president, he's saying, somebody needs to look into this. Because Joe Biden, he knew that Biden had bragged about being able to get the prosecutor,
yeah.
the Ukrainian prosecutor, keep in mind, folks, fired. Because he said, if you don't fire him, the U.S. government's not giving you money to the
yes.
tune of $1 billion. That's the story. So far,
yep.
Now if President Trump had said, "Hey, you need to knock these guys off," you know, something like
right.
that. I mean, but this is just,
Yeah, this is. First off, Joe Biden's name was never mentioned in here that I'm finding. But
he did say President Trump did say Biden. He didn't say Joe. He said Biden. Didn't he say Biden? Didn't Catherine Herridge quote that?
I know they talk about the prosecutor, but I'll have to keep digging.
Well,
to see if
everybody
I can find
knew who he
Biden's
was talking
name.
About.
But yeah, everybody knows who he's talking about. But here's the thing.
Yes, he did say Biden.
He did
Trump
say Biden
did.
In
Trump
the transcript.
Did say Biden. He says there's a lot of talk about Biden's son,
okay.
that Biden stopped the prosecution, and a lot of people want to find out about that.
Okay.
So whatever you can do with the attorney general, talking about ours, that would be great. That's what Trump said to this guy.
Yeah. This is, to me, this is not a stain on President Trump. This is brings up questions about Hillary Clinton and Biden, because according to what President Trump said here in the transcript, is that Ukraine could possibly have the 30,000 emails from Hillary Clinton's server that she crushed with hammers.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's what Trump's saying. Now, I never knew that. I didn't know that Ukraine had it. So
I didn't know either.
So what President Trump is saying in that paragraph that Catherine Herridge was citing is that that Attorney General William Barr needs to talk to the Ukrainian law enforcement officials to see if we can get our hands on that server, that's a criminal investigation domestically that was obstructed by Hillary Clinton by crushing the server. And President Trump is the chief law enforcement officer in the country, so he can. That's relevant information because.
Let me ask you this. Again, we're not attorneys here by any means. Wish Abraham Hamilton III was here to help us with this question today. But, and by the way, you don't have to have you don't have to have a president break the law to impeach him. Do you have to have something called high crimes and misdemeanors?
Well, ultimately, you're right. It's up if there's votes in the House, but the Chief Justice has to preside over it. So, no, constitutionally, there has to be a law broken.
There does?
High crimes and misdemeanors.
Okay, then my apologies on that. Well, I would just say this. That, if that's all there is right there, and there was no mention, I guess it would have upped the ante, so to speak, had President mentioned, oh, by the way, there's some money coming your way if you'll do this, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
And there's no inference to that.
Yeah.
That kind of phone call, the transcript we're hearing that we read from, that she read from right now, has happened down through history of presidents. Hillary Clinton paid for this Russian made up dossier.
Yeah.
To be used against Trump.
She was getting involved with a foreign government
to influence an election.
Yeah.
Huh? And I tell you what, Biden, they do need to look into that with Biden.
Yes.
Right. Because he bragged about getting the Ukraine, a sovereign country, Ukrainian government, he bragged about getting them to stop, to fire a prosecutor in the Ukraine who was looking in to a company that his son was making $50,000 a month off of, I think, what I read. $200,000 a month?
Yeah, back to the LLC in the U.S. But that money was then divided up between two or three guys.
So you got Joe Biden's son, who, by the way, has no expertise in the oil industry.
Zero.
And he happens to be making... I read $50,000 a month, but anyway, the point is a lot of money.
Yes.
He was making...
I think you're right. The business that he was tied to, the LLC, was making upwards of $200,000 a month being wire transferred, but when they divvied that up between all the partners, it was probably $50,000 per partner.
Well, impeachment. That's what the Democrats say over this.
Right.
This is what they want to impeach the president over.
Well,
they didn't even wait.
Oh, no, they didn't. And it's funny you mentioned the impeachment. Obviously, taking everything we've been talking about and everything that's been in the news cycle for the past how many ever hours now, one could make the argument that this is literally all about politics. It is political what the Democrats are trying to do against President Trump. And it's funny that we're talking about that because we do have some additional sound here from Joe Biden. Joe Biden, back in 1998 during the Clinton impeachment proceedings, in 1998, then-Senator Joe Biden warned his congressional colleagues about overturning the will of the people in electing a president. Clip 5.
This is their president we are talking about. The president of the United States does not serve at the pleasure of the legislature, does not serve at the pleasure of Joe Biden, does not serve at the pleasure of Henry Hyde, does not serve at the pleasure of the Congress. As a prime minister does in a parliamentary system, he is elected directly by the people of the United States of America. And the election of a president is the only nationwide vote the American people will ever cast. And that's a big deal. The American people don't think that they have made a mistake by electing Bill Clinton. And we in Congress had better be very careful before we upset their decision and make darn sure that we are able to convince them, if we decide to upset their decision, that our decision to impeach him was based upon principle and not politics.
So you had somebody,
was that?
That's Joe Biden
talking about
back
Bill
in 1988.
When they impeached Bill Clinton.
In other words, let's think about this before we try to impeach somebody because the people elected this guy.
Political.
Which is the same thing people are saying today.
Sorry. Yeah, there's no high crimes and misdemeanors. This is a pure political impeachment.
You're talking about now with Trump?
Yes, with President Trump. Even Democrats are saying this is a pure political impeachment, no high crimes and misdemeanors.
Right. I would just, if the Democrats, here's what they should do. I would just be honest with people and just say, look, we're impeaching President Trump because we hate his guts. All right? And that's what we're going to base our impeachment on. Mm-hmm. Since that's a high crime and misdemeanor in our book, right there, because we hate his ever loving guts.
Yeah,
and so that's what we're going with.
Yeah,
because it's better to me than what they got right here.
Right, exactly. Huh? Yeah, this is gonna backfire, and I hope that we do get I hope we do get the emails from Ukraine, and I hope Hunter Biden is investigated.
The Ukraine has the email. This is getting thicker.
I just think it's funny that somebody who sounding the alarm about climate change, in this case Joe Biden, has a child working in the oil sector, and nobody's picked up on that.
Yeah. This is all so hypocritical that the Democrats are the party of lawlessness and corruption, and they try to turn it on President Trump every chance they get, and it just doesn't stick.
Well, I want to do one more piece of sound at least here. This is last night on Fox News Channel. Senator John Kennedy, the Republican senator from Louisiana, was talking to Martha McCallum last night on Fox. And Senator Kennedy said Democrats are still mad about the 2016 election. Clip 8.
I think some of my Democratic friends are in good faith. I don't have enough facts to agree with them, and I don't at this point. But I think other of my Democratic friends just can't accept the fact that the American people chose Donald Trump to be president. It's called democracy. And my advice to them, I say this gently, fill out a hurt feelings report and let's move on.
I'm not sure what government website has the hurt feelings report, but let me know if you find it somewhere.
Yeah, you know, this is the reason the person, whoever the fake whistleblower was, that filed the original complaint, they did this because they're working on behalf of the Clintons and the Bidens.
That story,
Fox did have a story. This political person who the inspector general concluded had political motives filing the fake whistleblower complaint.
What I want to know is who in the world, besides maybe, who can listen to...
Many people.
Huh?
There's upwards of 20, 30, 40 people who listen in on those calls.
Okay, so they're listening in and they're granted permission to.
Sure.
Because they have to take notes and
hear.
So the president knows he's talking with all these people listening.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's why they're releasing this transcript. He's not saying anything he was embarrassed about or thought was wrong.
Right.
So you're saying one of these people who had been granted permission, was secondhand?
Yeah, the person who filed the whistleblower complaint wasn't even on the call, firsthand experience. It was he heard it or read it in a report after it happened.
So somebody listening on the call, one of the many people you say who would have been listening on the call for their various reasons, because they work for the administration or whatever. They go to dinner, and this is a hypothetical.
Yeah.
They go to dinner that night with a friend of theirs, and they go, hey, you're not going to believe what I heard today on the phone. President Trump said, he wanted to see the Ukrainian government investigate Joe Biden's son's company.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Wow. I think I'm going to whistle blow that to...
Inspector General.
Inspector General.
Mm-hmm.
And so... So you don't have so a whistleblower is a firsthand.
Legally, yes, has to be a firsthand.
Firsthand
knowledge.
And we need you know what? You need laws that allow for whistleblowers.
Sure.
Nobody's disagreeing with that because you want to protect somebody's identity if they're going to report a crime committed by somebody who could damage them or harm them should that person find out who told on them, right?
Yes, that's correct.
So you do need whistleblower laws to protect people. That nobody's denying that. Yeah. But in this case, it happened like I'm describing it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It wasn't a first-hand whistleblower. It was somebody who told somebody who told somebody.
Yes.
Now, the Inspector General, is that the Inspector General of who?
The Inspector General of the Intelligence Community.
Okay. He's the one that made this public or made this an issue?
Yes. I think somehow the whistleblower complaint became public knowledge through Congress, and okay. then, you know, people leak it. But then that's where it came out that the whistleblower was not really a whistleblower because he didn't have firsthand knowledge. And secondly, when I say that he's working on behalf of the Clintons and the Bidens, what I mean by that is this is someone who's a hardcore Democrat political hack that works for our government.
Gotcha.
Who said, wow, if I don't file a whistleblower complaint and try to launch a witch hunt into President Trump, then guess what's going to happen if I don't do this? President Trump is going to actually find out where the emails are, and Hunter Biden's probably going to get in criminal trouble for his crimes. So I'm going to go ahead and foil this,
right,
if you will.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, guys, we're not experts on constitutional law in terms of impeachment, but I'm just saying, this is all the Democrats got, they could complain about, you know, the president of the United States shouldn't be asking a foreign leader to investigate a company,
mm-hmm,
because his political opponent works
right
with them. But if you're going to say that, then you're going to have to impeach Vice President Biden. I say the word impeach. I know he's not a sitting
right
public official, but I'm just saying it's the same standard, because what you would be saying is President Trump tried to get a prosecutor hired while Joe Biden, while Vice President, absolutely got a prosecutor fired,
mm-hmm,
and held money out,
mm-hmm,
and was bragging about it. I don't know that he knew he was on tape right there, on video, but Biden, I did.
Yeah.
So if you, I'm just going to say, for the Democrats, if you're going to say one thing's wrong, you're going to have to also admit that what Joe Biden did was wrong with money.
Yes.
Right?
Because he actually leveraged money.
Yeah.
Which President Trump did not do.
Right.
You know, I don't know that this, I don't think this would be possible, but I wouldn't blame a future administration from like completely just gutting the staff when you take office, because we have these people that have been there for years. They might have even been working there during a previous Republican administration, but they have an issue with the current, you know, guy in the White House. So in an effort to like stop leaks and these things, you would think a future administration would say enough of this. We're not going to put up with this.
Here's anymore. What President Obama did in the final hours of his presidency. He changed political appointees to permanent appointees, which is, there's two definitions. There's political appointees, which are replaceable. The president can fire them at will. And then there's the other are more permanent employees.
Gotcha.
President Obama changed some of the intelligence community officials' titles to permanent government officials, which are much harder to fire.
Okay.
Which is why President Trump has Clinton operatives listening in on his phone calls.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens here, but you know, gonna be all over the news for the next few weeks. But if I were the Democrats, you would have hoped you'd have had something a little more meaty.
They'll read into it and still make a big deal out of it.
I know, but I like I said, if I'm the Democrats and Nancy Pelosi, I'm just announcing we're impeaching the president on grounds of we hate his guts, and we're going with that. Who's with us? Raise your hand. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network.
On the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. And you can watch the show there every day. or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, when we go to Israel and we visit the Sea of Galilee, we stay at a hotel right there on the seashore. It's going to be wonderful. You're going to get up every morning that we're there and you're going to say, hey, this is the place where Jesus walked on the water. This is the place where Jesus went on the boat with his disciples. This is the place where Jesus had much of his ministry, Capernaum, and places around there. So it's going to be a wonderful time there on the Sea of Galilee. In fact, we're going to take a boat ride out on the Sea of Galilee. That's just a couple of the days that we're in Israel seeing the sites that you've read about your whole life in the Bible. So for more information on this March 12th through the 20th tour, go to the website twholyland.com. Again, March 12th through the 20th, go to the website twholyland.com for all the information.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
When to speak out and when to stay silent. That story next. Todd Starnes here. You know, America is facing dangers of socialism and secularism every day, and we need young people who stand for freedom. At Liberty University, they're training the next generation of faith-based conservative leaders who will be on the front lines of this culture war. Professors teach their students about free enterprise, individual freedom, and the Constitution from a Judeo-Christian perspective. So join Liberty University in training the conservative leaders of tomorrow. Text GIVE to 839-858 today. A conservative colleague called me the other day concerned because of some of the headlines I had generated recently, mostly from left-leaning groups taking my comments out of context or flat-out lying about something I wrote or said on the radio. The colleague suggested that maybe I ought to consider toning it down, told me I should stop talking about the hot-button cultural issues of the day, and you can take a wild guess as to what those issues might be. He was concerned because I'm one of the few conservatives left in the national media still talking about those kinds of stories. I appreciated the concern, but to be honest, I'm not so sure toning it down is the right move. Bonhoeffer once said, "Silence in the face of evil is evil itself." So I have a responsibility to say something. And yeah, I don't like the name calling, but I'm not going to let myself be bullied. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. I'm Tim with Walker and Chris, and we've got a lot more stories to cover later on in the hour, but I got an email from a friend of mine yesterday, Dr. David Reagan, who's the founder and director for Lamb and Lion Ministries, and they're in the Dallas area. And David was telling me about something that happened. I thought, well, why don't I invite him on the radio and he can tell everybody what happened with his magazine and a prison in Arkansas. David, good morning to you.
Well, good morning. It's great to be with you, and I appreciate this opportunity to share with your listeners.
Hey, David, first of all, tell our listeners about your ministry, Lamb and Lion. You guys have been around a long time. Yes, sir.
I was a professor of international law and politics for 20 years, and all that time the Lord was calling me into ministry, and finally I gave in and surrendered to that call in April of 1980. So we're completing our 40th year of ministry next year. And the ministry exists to teach the fundamentals of Bible prophecy, proclaim the soon return of Jesus, and also to speak out concerning the sins of our society and calling America to repentance. So we really appreciate ministries like yours that are on the cutting edge and are really willing to step out there and call people to repentance. You know, I know your father for many years.
Yes.
And I remember him saying to me one time, David, I get my most critical letters from ministers who tell me I am just beating my head against a wall and accomplishing nothing and that I'm not winning. And he said, What I tell them is, God didn't call me to win. God called me to stand, and I'm going to stand. That we're not going to win until Jesus returns.
Yeah, amen. That's your motto, too.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. So tell our listeners what happened with your magazine.
Sure. We have a magazine that we call The Lamplighter that we put out every other month. It's usually about 28 pages long. And the July-August edition was one that was very placid compared to our usual editions. I mean, most of our editions contain all kinds of articles about abortion, same-sex marriage, the issues, of moral issues of our society. But this particular one was almost devoted entirely to one subject, and that was the announcement that I am retiring in September of 2021. And it told all about who the board had, designated as my successor. And it gave many, many articles about him and his background. So we were absolutely stunned when we received a letter from an inmate at a prison in Arkansas telling us that he had been denied access to this magazine. And he sent us a copy of a formal statement that was given to him. It's a formal government statement, gives the name of the prison, the name of the warden, and says that the assistant warden plus three members of his committee, all of which signed this, decided that the material could not be given to him because, quote, it incites, encourages, advocates, or promotes racism or other illegal discrimination. We were stunned by that. And so we got the magazine out. We started looking through it, see what in the world could they be upset about. And there was one article in there, because, most of it had to do with my successor. There was one article in there that they wouldn't say what they were upset about, but we know what it was. The article was listed as an editorial, and it was written by an American woman, Pat Franklin, who lives in London, England. She is married to an Englishman, and both of them are professional journalists. And so she is an outstanding writer. We've published her articles before. And the title of the article was Sex Change? Not Unless You Change Every Cell in Your Body. And she started it off with these words: like it or not, a girl is a girl, a boy is a boy, X for a girl and Y for a boy, and that is the end of the matter. As a mother, I have discovered something few people seem to know today. My baby boy grew up to be a man, and my baby girl grew up to be a woman. And then she went on to discuss what the Bible says about gender, and how the Bible talks about there's only two sexes, and that's it. And she ended the whole article by saying, is this a hate article? No way. If you see someone heading for misery and disaster, it is not hatred to warn them. It is the kindest thing to do. Be warned. It's time to decide where we stand, folks. If Jesus is God, and he is, then follow him. Well, they listed this as a hate article. And this sort of thing, just unbelievable.
Right.
I wrote the warden and protested, and I never got a response. But 2 days ago, I got a letter from the inmate, and he said, I rejoice to inform you that today, that was about 3 days ago, he said, I was informed that I can not only have the magazine that was held back, but the latest edition of your magazine. Thank you for intervening for me. Said, we have a large group of Christian believers here at the prison, and I help teach them, and we are all rejoicing that we can get the magazine.
Wow. So somebody, the point is that this is going on, this kind of thing is going on.
Oh, yeah, Tim, it's going on everywhere. For example, the latest email from Michael Brown. Michael Brown is probably one of the best-known Messianic Jewish spokesmen in America and a very, very strong spokesman.
Yes.
Out there on the cutting edge. And he said, last week we received a notice from Vimeo. That's one of the channels like YouTube, shows videos. We received a notice from Vimeo that three of our videos had been removed for allegedly violating community guidelines. When we appealed, we were informed that, quote, we don't allow videos that are hateful, harass others, violate someone's privacy, or include defamatory or discriminatory speech. He said he called them and said, well, what did we do wrong? And the representative named James said, specifically, The NEO moderators will generally remove videos that make derogatory or inflammatory statements about individuals or groups of people are intended to harm someone's reputation and have an overall mean-spirited vibe. He says, what is a mean-spirited vibe? He said, you know, what specific, tangible, measurable, consistent guidelines are given to determine a mean spiritual vibe? He said, he goes on to say, how subjective could you get?
Exactly. And I'll use a broad term, the world now, the secular world, many in the secular world, certainly the giant social medias, the social media giants and such, the definition they use as hate is, with respect to the LGBT issue, is if you disagree with their lifestyle,
right,
or you would refer to it as somehow immoral or sinful,
then
you hate those people, and we're going to censure you.
Or if you present what the Bible has to say about homosexuality.
Yeah, we got cited. This story, we're going to report on this story the next half hour. We, American Family Association, I sent this email out, and this is what you were responding to, David. We're talking to Dr. David Reagan, founder and director for Lamb and Lion Ministries. There was a House and Ways Committee in the U.S. Congress. It was their subcommittee, right, Walker?
Correct.
And they cited us, American Family Association, for being a hate group.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's controlled by Democrats. But the citation that they referenced for us, the quote they referenced for us about us being a hate group, is because we reported on statistics that that homosexual behavior is unhealthy. Well, we're just reporting what the Centers
CDC.
For Disease Control
right.
says. They said
exactly.
Are they a hate group too? You know, are they a hate group too? Because everybody knows that homosexual activity is unnatural.
Right.
Therefore, it leads to more disease and more health problems for those who engage in that activity. So, like, somebody smoked cigarettes for 40 years and you get lung cancer. Don't be surprised. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, Tim, you know as well as I do that the national leaders of the Democrat Party hate Christianity with a passion.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
yes.
if they get back in control, which they will sooner or later, they're going to come after your ministry. They're going to come after mine. They're going to come after every ministry in the United States that stands for what the Bible says. And they're going to try to take away our tax-exempt status, and they probably will even go after churches. But this is a nationwide thing going on. For example, in 2017, the NEO removed 850 conservative Christian videos, and they removed a whole bunch that were posted by Dr. David Kyle Foster, a former homosexual who has a powerful ministry called Pure Passion, and they don't want anybody speaking about someone coming out of homosexuality. Earlier this year, the same group removed a Christian church's account over videos that were critical of homosexuality. And as you well know, Dennis Prager has a lawsuit against Google and YouTube. Now, he's not a Christian, but he's a conservative. He has a lawsuit against both Google and YouTube for removing his videos. And let me tell you about another one. Do you know, have you ever heard of Billy Crone? Billy Crone is a very strong Christian spokesman. Has a ministry called Get a Life in Las Vegas, Nevada. He's pastor of Sunrise Bible Church in Las Vegas. He is an internet sensation, has YouTube videos all over the internet about Bible prophecy, and he speaks out strongly about the sins of our nation. Well, let me tell you what happened to him just about 3 weeks ago. He was notified by PAL, what's it called, the payment service.
PayPal?
Yeah, PayPal. He was notified by PayPal that they were freezing his PayPal account because they considered him to be a hate ministry. They would not tell him what provoked that. He called them, and not only that, they froze all the funds that he has in PayPal that have been paid to him, and they will not let him have the funds. He called them, and he asked them why, and they said, we're not going to tell you why we did it. He said, well, at least release my funds. They said, no, we will not do that. They said, he said, are you telling me that I've got to hire a lawyer and come after you in a lawsuit to get my funds? They said, yes, we're freezing them.
Yeah, he needs to get him a good lawyer, absolutely. And Lats defending freedom.
Yeah, this is going on all over the nation.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's going on. Now, I'll tell you what happened was with these secular progressives who hate Christianity. One of the reasons they're so mad and angry, and this connects to politics mm-hmm. here, is because President Trump, then candidate Donald Trump, beat Hillary Clinton. And they were already they were going up for the slam dunk after 8 years of Obama.
Oh, yeah.
And Holder and all those, anyway, they were getting ready to control the whole apparatus of the federal government, including, and they were going to weaponize, and they still have plans to do this eventually if they can. They want to weaponize the courts. They want to weaponize the executive branch of the federal government, which the president controls.
Yeah.
So they're wanting to come after Christian groups and conservative groups and shut us down. I mean, I know it sounds alarmist, mm-hmm. but alarm needs to be sounded.
Yes.
Okay. Because these people, if they get in control, they're going to use that. You're a hate group.
Absolutely.
Therefore, we're shutting you down.
Absolutely.
Whatever excuse they can use to try to shut us down. So when President Trump got elected, it threw a monkey wrench in things, mm-hmm. and especially since President Trump, and he has his faults, but especially since he wanted to identify with Christians in many ways, and he wanted to understand us, he wanted to use religious freedom to protect us. He talked about this yesterday. I'm not saying President Trump has a Christian worldview on everything. I'm just saying he wanted to
he's
be
a friend.
He's a friend, and he wants to. Dr. Robert Jeffers from Dallas at First Baptist Church was up with him in New York at the United Nations talking about religious freedom. So, Vice President Pence is an evangelical Christian. So, anyway, that threw a monkey wrench in things when he was elected over Hillary Clinton.
And yesterday, Trump at the UN gave a fantastic, powerful speech on behalf of religious freedom all over the world. But you didn't hear anything about that in the press. All you could hear about was Pelosi saying, we're going to launch an impeachment inquiry.
Right. Mm-hmm. Hey, David, what's your website? How can people find out more information about Lamb and Lion?
Well, the website is Lamb Lion, no and in the middle, just Lamb, LAMBLION, lamblion.com.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Always good to be with you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's Dr. David Reagan. I think he's based out of somewhere around McKinney, Texas. I think David is where his ministry is located. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. If you would like to send us an email, here's the address, comments at AFR.net. Chris Woodward is with me and with us, Walker Wildman, also. Chris, next story.
All right. We have talked a lot thus far this week about Greta Thunberg at the UN. I did not bring in the audio of her. She's the 16-year-old that basically chastised the UN for not doing anything about what she considers to be man-made climate change because she says it's threatened her way of life and how dare you and I should be at school and all these things. Well, I found this yesterday on Twitter, and I don't recall this. I was just a young whippersnapper back then, and if I could go back and talk to myself, well, never mind. But anyway, this is some audio from a young lady named Severn Cullis Suzuki, if I said any of that correctly. She is a Canadian national, and she spoke before the UN at a summit in Rio back in 1992, and it is very similar to what Greta said this week at the UN, clip 10.
I am afraid to go out in the sun now because of the holes in our ozone. I'm afraid to breathe the air because I don't know what chemicals are in it. I used to go fishing in Vancouver, my home, with my dad, until just a few years ago we found the fish full of cancers. And now we hear of animals and plants going extinct every day, vanishing forever. In my life, I have dreamt of seeing the great herds of wild animals, jungles and rainforests full of birds and butterflies. But now I wonder if they will even exist for my children to see.
Okay, that's all I need to hear. That was 1992?
1992.
So Greta, Greta was a reboot.
Yeah, it's basically, it's almost
She's
as if Miss Suzuki wrote the speech.
Greta's late to the game.
Yeah, what was that young lady's name we just heard, the Canadian?
Severn Cullis Suzuki.
Wonder where she is today. We need her. Where are they today?
She was born in Vancouver. Looks like she's 39 years old.
Well, she went fishing one day and found a bunch of cancers in her.
She did.
That's happened to me a few times. I got to tell you. I caught some crappie one time.
Yeah.
You know, and about the 10th one, I said, there's something wrong with these fish. You know, so I mean, I'm not. That can happen.
Right now,
you can. You're bass fishing. You're crappie fishing. especially you big catfish. You got to be careful about the cancer.
Yeah.
Okay. Huh? Am I right?
Yeah, and it's really driven because you drove your truck to go fishing.
Right, because you emitted. Right,
yeah. You got your boat engine.
So
now I will.
So
say
now what?
She
what
was
ever
a little more reserved than Greta was. Greta was
upset. Now whatever happened? Did we close those holes in the ozone? Because she says there's holes. She can't. She says she's afraid to go outside.
She is.
She was afraid to go outside in 1992.
The year before I was born.
Yeah. Yes. One could make the argument that that there was more pollution and things like that in the 90s. We have taken significant steps in our country, at least, on things to improve
close
the
ozone holes.
Well, there have been they have. You could ask 500 people and get different answers.
What Chris is trying to say is we've cut down on our emissions.
Actually, because of natural gas,
that doesn't close a hole.
Emissions are at 1990s levels today because of natural gas. And they're worrying about emissions.
You know, the double standard here is that nobody else can go around making these wild predictions, and when they don't come true, get away with it, and then get to repeat. Now you have Greta at the UN this week. If we were to do that with another situation.
Right, I know.
If we said the next year the Democrats are going to put us all in jail.
And it doesn't happen.
Which sounds like an extreme, and it does. Right. It is an extreme, hypothetical. We would be mocked next year when that didn't happen. But these people get to continue repeating these wild theories that never come true.
Yeah, this is so low hanging of a fruit kind of argument, I guess. But I do think schools are partly to blame for this, and television programs, based on the example that I'm going to share here. I don't often share personal family stories, Chris, or whatnot.
Share with us.
I'm at a restaurant with my family a couple weeks ago on a Sunday here in Tupelo, a restaurant that many people frequent, and they had the Weather Channel on and their television in the little dining area or whatnot. And within seconds, my 9-year-old says, "The TV says that the oceans are going to rise and everything's going to be flooded by 2030. I mean, so you have to wonder, where did Severn get her information? Where did Greta get her information? Things like this. They're getting it from somebody, and most likely it is what they're being told in schools, and it's what they're watching on television, which is why it puts the impetus. Thank you. On us as parents to ask your kids, what are you being told in school? What did you talk about today? What did you read? And monitor what your kids are watching on television.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that restaurant was doing anything wrong.
Now we got enough TV shows we have to avoid. Now you're telling me the weather channels.
Well, you remember Cal Bisoner and other people have long talked about this, but you remember back in the early 90s, Walker, this may have been gone by the time you started like old enough to watch television, but there was a cartoon back in the very early 90s called Captain Planet. And it was basically every week or every episode was an environmental message.
Yeah. You know, it's just there's two things going on here. One of them is more serious than the other. Number one, I'll give you the less serious, is all a bunch of virtue signaling.
Yeah.
Going on by the liberals, by the Hollywood types, by these kids like the ones like Greta. Maybe they think they're sincere for what that's worth, but they don't allow anyone any room for disagreement or debate or discussion. It's there. They believe it's a lot of it is, look at me. I am a wonderful human being because I care about the planet.
Right.
Right. So a lot of it's that. Now, the other part is more serious, and that is, and Marvin Sanders, my late colleague, used to talk about this, what's behind the what's called the environmental movement. Because who among us is for pollution? Raise your hand.
Right.
Who wants things dumped in our rivers that you know what I'm saying? Nobody.
Sure.
We have laws already on the books to protect us from environmental abuse.
The EPA.
We don't want chemicals in our lakes and things like that. Yeah. So, I mean, everybody, conservatives, liberals,
yeah,
everybody's for that.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause we all have to live in this together. But what's going on here in a grander scheme, if you pull back, if you were to pull back the curtain, mm-hmm. so to speak, is, and again, I'm not saying everybody in the environmental movement subscribes to this, but at its core, it is socialistic / communistic.
Mm-hmm.
What they want to do, the people ultimately behind this movement, is they want to harm America and the West, but in particular America's economy. They want to control our economy and turn it to be more socialistic / communistic. If not, if you could be more sinister and say they want to bring down the United States economy altogether,
mm-hmm.
With rules, regulations, and taxation. Sounds like Bernie's campaign message, doesn't it? Bernie Sanders. So, but but Americans instinctively resist that because we're a capitalistic, free enterprise economy and society. That's what provides our wealth to enjoy the best lifestyle in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you okay? Overall.
Right.
As my dad used to say, the capitalist system undergirded by Christian principles provides the best for the most.
Yes.
Or you can always find examples of people who don't make it or are hurting, whatever, but it's not the system's fault,
mm-hmm. right,
that happens. But if they can do that, these people can control the American economy with all these rules, regulations, and taxations. How do you do that? How do you overcome the instinctive nature of the American people to resist that? You scare the mess out of them. That's what you do. People will give up their rights and their freedoms if they think they can trade that for security and safety.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
That's human nature too. So, if you can scare the mess out of the American people to think we're all going to burn up and die in the next 10 years, or the oceans are going to flood the shores, Miami's going to be gone, New York's going to be gone, whatever. Certainly, Barack Obama doesn't believe this because he just bought an oceanfront home, right?
Right.
So he doesn't believe it. So if you can make people believe that, then that's what the Democrats are counting on, the AOC with her new Green Deal. So they will say, if you don't do all these radical, crazy, I call them crazy things, you don't care about the planet.
Yes.
Huh? And you don't care about your children.
Yep.
And basically, you're destroying the world.
They're using fear as the driver
to try to get people to trade in their freedoms.
Yes.
Am I right?
That's right. Exactly right.
Chris, am I right?
Yes.
Are you going to get your check this week, Chris?
Right.
Hey, what about me?
No, I'm your check. You're getting your check Thursday.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Hope my wife's listening.
Okay.
Mark it down, honey.
Nothing wrong being a yes man, Chris.
She's my accountant.
Well, you're a yes man at home too, I hear though.
Yes, I am.
Happy wife, happy life.
I have two daughters and a bunch of female cats, man. I'm surrounded, man.
All right. So thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And Walker and I shall return in 5 minutes with Steve Jordahl and more of Today's Issues.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.